Okay, Mark.
Thanks, Tracy, and thanks to everyone for taking time out to join us today. Hopefully I can give you a little bit of insight on how I use the PFA and how I don't use it, and maybe you can pick up one or two tips that you might be able to incorporate into your practice. And feel free to ask questions along the way. I'll give a little background on the client first. He contacted me back in June of 2013. He had had breakfast that morning with a financial planner. It was a friend of his that I had done some networking with years earlier, probably 8-9 years prior, and the financial planner suggested he contact me. He had just left a job. It was a messy political situation. He had two kids in college. His wife is a statistician and data management type person who was employed at Pfizer, a large pharmaceutical company. And when they closed their local office, she lost her job and started a business with five coworkers, providing outsource services to other pharmaceutical companies. And at that point, she was the primary breadwinner. He was waiting to hear on a job with a not-for-profit organization. He said that would fulfill his passion. That would probably be the only job he would take. He was trying to decide what the Lord wanted him to do, and didn't think he could make my seminar the next day that I invited him to, and was going to be on vacation the next week and also the first week of August. But ended up calling me later that day and says, yeah, I can make that seminar. And wasn't sure. He said he was just starting to consider business ownership, not sure how much liquid capital he could invest, but he said at least $25,000. So I didn't know what kind of candidate I was going to have. I certainly had my reservations. So he came to the seminar the next day and then sent me an email later on that day, because at that time we were working with the Wounded Warriors, and I noted that in one of my slides. And he liked that idea because he had an idea for helping veterans and helping get through the red tape and the walls they run into and trying to get their benefits. And he had lost a cousin in Vietnam, and he said he'd love to do something in this area. So that further confused me as far as whether I thought he was going to be a candidate for a franchise business or not. But we did the consultation. A week or so later, his wife was busy with her own business and couldn't attend. I know that's a concern for a lot of people. I don't make it a hard and fast rule. Depends on the circumstances. Generally, with belongers, you want to have the spouse involved. But I went ahead and met with him nonetheless. So about a year or so ago, I went back through my records of people that I've placed, over the last, 10, 12 years, and found that quite a few of them came in without their spouse and ended up buying franchises. So I think I made the right decision to meet with them alone. At some point, I will endeavor to, if the circumstances are right, have another meeting with the spouse, maybe go out to them or meet them someplace near their home. But to tell you the truth, it doesn't happen a lot. Either they drop out right away, or they're so engaged and doing so well, I don't think it's necessary. But I'm always checking in the follow-up calls as to what the wife is thinking or her husband is thinking, what their level of involvement has been in the investigation process, and kind of taking their temperature on that, and then making recommendations if, I'm getting the sense that they're skittish, and for instance, attending one of my seminars, sending them a recorded webinar to watch at their leisure, that sort of thing. So looking at the assessment, what I do when I get one of these is I look for what I feel are the two most important criteria right off the bat, and that is motivation and money. So I go to page 2 immediately and look at the 1 to 10 scale, their commitment to being in business. And in this case, it was a 10, which was great and kind of surprised me because when we talked a week earlier, he wasn't even sure if business ownership was going to be a path for him. But, you know, I don't put 100% stock in that number anyhow. And I've heard other FranNet folks say that unless they're a 7 or higher, they won't meet with them. But I don't have a hard and fast rule. I've placed many, many people that were under 7. The lowest was a 1. So I'm going to, you know, do some questioning, maybe some additional pre-screening if it's a lower number. But it's not a drop-dead thing. While I'm there, I certainly look at the sales ability and interest, and he rated himself high in both of those, which was encouraging and a little bit surprising because he was an accountant and CPA by trade. And then I go to the money piece. I go right to the financial. And he's got a high net worth, as you can see, but not a lot of liquid capital. But in the course of our discussion, either on the phone, and it was probably in the meeting, I have noted on mine that he had an additional $180,000 in stocks and bonds that he didn't list. So he was pretty liquid, but very conservative in terms of the amount that he indicated he wanted to invest in finance for a total investment of $50,000. But again, I don't put a ton of stock in that until we sit down and discuss it further. So then I'll go back to page 1 and start reading some of the answers. See, he's just starting to look for a business, so he's kind of an open book. I'm surprised he's not a societal because of his interest in helping seniors, veterans, and so forth. He talked a lot about passion. He was hoping to get that not-for-profit position to fulfill a passion. Great that he's willing to put in lots of hours. He seemed like a high-energy guy. And under describing the most important things in choosing a business, once again, he used the word passion and profitability, too, and needs income as soon as possible. That weighed heavily into the choices I made in terms of what to show him. I noted or underlined volunteer tutor, thinking about educational concepts as possible fits. If you go to page 2, nothing really jumped out there at the top. Getting a small company into a new building, overseeing all the tasks and growing the department, other than, you know, it seems like he's a tactical kind of guy, overseeing tasks. Didn't like the politics. Well, who does? Yet one of the things he wanted to avoid was red tape, and under your weaknesses are patients with inefficient processes that make no sense. So he is task-oriented, but it sounded like he, you know, didn't necessarily get bogged down in the details and could see the big picture. He indicated that he's willing to spend a lot of time out in the field, personally initiating contact with potential customers, which, you know, was kind of surprising. And also that he'd want a retail location. So that a little bit contradictory there. Of course, we had to talk more in depth about that at the consultation. And then indicated that no other family members would be involved in the business. Page 3, you check 4 of the broad industry categories. Didn't check food or automotive, which is okay. And open to a product or service, fairly open. Reasonable timetable for being in business, 1 to 3 months, and that he'd be making the decision with his spouse. You know, we talked a lot about that in the consultation as to how that would how that would come down and what Joyce's involvement would be in the process, and you know how to keep her engaged even though she was very busy. She, in addition to her day job, she's the president of the school board for a Christian school in the community. When we talked about number of employees and types of employees, I made a notation here that he gets along, he mentioned that he gets along with the trades. So that kind of sparked some ideas as to possible fits for him. He said he's open to the size of the staff, or he could start alone. Works well with the trades, and didn't have to do every job, but wanted to have enough knowledge in order to be able to help out. If you go to page 5, client at a glance, he's high compliance, which is good. Core competencies, admin and management, marketing and advertising. He kind of dabbled in some marketing roles at his most recent employer. He was involved in accounting and marketing support. Above average sales potential. That was interesting. Although he rated himself high as well. And he's competitive, which is a good thing. So we talked a lot about the sales aspect of different businesses at the consultation. He said he was fine with outbound sales, but he preferred calling on warm leads, and he was fine with local networking. So that opened up a lot of possibilities of different types of businesses that I could show him. I don't necessarily read all the narratives on the ensuing sheets there. This is usually where I end it, but I do skip to page 13 and look at the direction sort, frame of reference, and task attitude and communication style. He's an optional. That always kind of raises a red flag. But I have not really had a big issue with optionals. I always kind of keep it in the back of my mind that, you know, depending on how the consultation is going, I may want to show them more than three, maybe four or five deals, and let them pick two or three that they want to start with. But I have found that in a lot of cases, optionals really don't come back. You know, I may show them three, they'll start looking at three, and a lot of times they really don't come back and ask for more choices. And if they do, you know, once I've kind of pried as to, you know, what's missing for them, you know, has the model changed, you know, should we be going in another direction, and even when I make some additional recommendations in the course of us working together, more often than not, they want to stick with what they're looking at. But, you know, occasionally I'll make a referral, which is fine, but I'm always cognizant that they are optional, but it hasn't been a major concern or issue for me. He was really interested in being aligned with a very ethical company. As a matter of fact, he brought in his own proposed mission statement for any business that he might start, like treating all team members with dignity, concern, and respect, being on time or alert others, no exceptions, treat all customers with kindness and respect, no matter how they treat you, handle the spending of company dollars as if it's your own. He was pretty clear on what type of culture he wanted to create and the type of franchisor he wanted to be aligned with. Anybody have any questions at this point? No? Okay. Well, let's talk about the deals. Anybody want to make any suggestions on what they would show him?
Comfort care.
Okay. Yeah, that was an obvious choice, given that I think had already started looking at senior care or listed that as one of his potential areas of interest. And we talked about that in the consultation. And one of the things that was weighing on my mind was quick ramp up, because he needed to start cash flowing as soon as possible. So I think, if I recall correctly, we mutually agreed that senior care, unless there happened to be a resale opportunity available at the time, which there wasn't, would not be an option. But based on everything else in the profile, Chuck, you're absolutely right. That would be a good choice. Any other ideas?
Mark, yes. A follow-up question around that. When you actually dove in and found he had $180,000 in stocks and bonds, what ultimately was his investment range?
We established a budget of up to $150,000 liquid.
Okay.
He said he wanted to avoid financing.
Up to $150,000. Got it.
Mm-hmm. He didn't really create a problem because he is able and willing to sell.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other thoughts on potential fits for Jim?
I don't know if it's available, but what about something like Tudor Doctor?
That was one of the ones I showed him. Good choice.
Okay.
I actually showed him four deals, and the fourth one was a little bit of a wild card, and I'll explain why in a minute. But I did show him Tudor Doctor. Lower investment, societal element. He's already involved in volunteer tutoring. His wife is on the school board. And potential for quicker ramp up. So he was anxious to take a look at that. I showed him Battery Giant, which would have been outside of the budget, but it just so happened at that time one of their local company stores was for sale for right around $130,000 that he could have walked into and had some existing cash flow. They ended up retaining that as a company store, but he had passed on it long before they made that decision. Plus, they've got the recycling attribute and that sort of thing, so I thought it would be a good fit in that regard, and he was willing to do B2B sales, so a combination of inbound retail and outbound sales, and he agreed to look at that. Then I showed him Serta Pro Painters, which I maybe had shown once or twice previously. But I thought about this one because of, again, the potential for quick ramp up. It was within the budget. He said he's comfortable working with the trades. He could start with no employees. We talked about the use of subcontractors. He's comfortable going out and calling on warm leads, and they do a lot of lead generation with CertaPro, so he wanted to take a look at that. And it just so happened that a friend of his, not the one that referred him to me, was a gentleman I had just placed recently with Zounds. He signed on in February of 2013, and by June, just after I met Jim, he had his first store open and was about to open a second one. So he had some discussions with Jim and was thinking about buying a third territory. I thought that Zounds was a good fit for Jim based on, you know, the ability to help seniors without the long ramp up of an in-home senior care franchise. Don had got up and running pretty quickly and was happy with his early results, so he had some personal validation there. It's maybe a little bit above the budget, but not too much of a stretch. And, I asked him about that. I said, you might want to consider this or maybe kind of put it on hold. I don't know how you feel about competing with Don for that additional territory that he's looking at buying. But he said, I'll let you know on that. You know, I like the concept. I know Don's enjoying it. I'll get back to you on that. We'll start with these other three. Well, he got back to me on his way home. He called Don, and Don said, no problem. If you want to take that territory, or maybe we can do it together, do a joint venture or something. So before Jim got home, he had called me back and said he wanted to look at zones. So I made four referrals. And he had at least one conversation, if not more, with all of them. I think he ended the Battery Giant thing after the first discussion with Greg. He said it sounds like a great opportunity, but he had no passion for it, and he was just going to put that on the back burner. He said Tudor Doctor started at the top of his list as far as interest level. And still might be, but he wasn't really impressed with Ray Schuler's listening ability and getting info from him, so he was going to put that on hold. This was like, a week or a couple weeks into the process. But he was starting to get fired up about CertaPro. And he said it really interested him. He had visited the Sherwin-Williams store in the area, got really good feedback on the potential in the market and so forth, and was going to continue to pursue that. And was starting to look at Zounds, and he was talking to his friend Don, and Don was helping him run numbers and create a pro forma, and that was looking good. But within a couple weeks, he decided to focus 100% on CertaPro. And, I asked him why, and he said that he likes the fact that he can control the sales process by doing it himself, and he'd actually enjoy the role of going into people's homes and doing the quote. So by looking at, his profile, the PFA initially, and my initial discussions with him over the phone and at the seminar and so forth, you wouldn't think a business like that would be a fit. But as I learned more about him and he learned more about that business and really narrowed the focus in terms of his priorities and preferences, CertaPro ended up being the one, and he signed with them in like mid-August and took two vacations in there. So from not being sure if business ownership was for him in late June and then taking two vacations, he was a franchisee by the end of August. And just to let you know, I did some research earlier in the week. I called Don Terranelli at CertaPro. I knew Jim got off to a fast start, but I hadn't checked in recently. And he continues to do very well, according to Don. He booked $117,000 in business in 2013. He went to training in late September. So that's basically, and Don said most of that was before Thanksgiving. So that's basically a month and a half, 2 months of business. He's at $187,000 year-to-date 2014, trending toward $800,000 for the year, which should put him in contention for Rookie of the Year honors. Don said the average first-year gross is $340,000. So it looks like he's going to more than double that. And I wish they were all this easy. Any questions? Let me give you a little more insight on what made the deal. It's not necessarily the perfect fit or the perfect match, but I think the individuals involved from the franchisor side and the processes, which varied really made a difference. I don't know if any of you had worked with CertaPro. This was really my first experience. I'd made one referral previously that really didn't go anywhere. But they've got a really button-down system. They're very proactive. Within a week or two, they'll get on a plane and visit the client in the market. Don Terranelli came in and met with Jim and his wife. And I think that helped get her over the hump. And again, throughout the process, I was talking to Jim about where Joyce was on things. And by mid-August, he was telling me, Joyce is in and I'm totally in and we're full speed ahead. And Don Terranelli and the CertaPro process, I think, had a lot to do with that.
Mark, what was your
again, one of the reasons I knew what their process was, and FCI, which is a sister company, Floor Coverings International, has a similar process. And with Jim being a belonger and his wife not being at the consultation and initially being skittish, that was probably one of the reasons that I chose CertaPro as one of the deals to show him. I'm sorry, I cut somebody off.
Mark, it's Chuck. I wanted to ask you, what was your biggest surprise as you were working with Jim through the process?
The sheer speed of the deal. I never dreamed it would go that quickly and he'd be able to get Joyce on board that quickly. And for a guy that was all about education and tutoring and helping seniors and helping veterans, who would have thunk he'd end up in a painting business 6 weeks later?
All right.
And he's knocking the cover off the ball. I guess one of the reasons I selected this file, not necessarily because it was a quick and easy deal, is that I think it points out that maybe some of the stereotypes that we have based on a client's background and or their PFA may prevent us from being a little bit more open-minded as to what might be a fit and what to show them. So it certainly takes a lot more discussion, a lot more digging to get a sense for not only which type of business might be a match, but also the relationship they're going to have with the franchisor to help them get to the finish line.
Any more questions, anybody? We've got a lot of new associates on the line, and I don't want to put them on the spot, but is there anything that you guys want to ask? Is this helpful to you?
This is Linda, and I just have a question. Does CertaPro require brick and mortar?
No.
Okay.
Hi, Mark. This is Sarah. I apologize. I'm in a windy area, but how many franchisors actually do that kind of visit? That seems unusual to me.
Very few. I off the top, other than ones that are based locally here that I may have clients looking at. I can't think of any others. Does anybody else know of any others that'll
Express?
I think Express used to do it. I'm not sure if they do. I'm sorry.
Floor Coverings definitely does.
Right, right.
Yeah, they do.
Those two are cut from the same mold.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a real quick deal with Floor Coverings a year and a half ago. And again, I think the process weighed heavily into that. Express used to do it. I'm not sure if they still do.
This is Dave. I did a deal with CertaPro, and it was took about the same length of time, and it was a vice president of a bank that bought it, and he's done very well. And I think the main reason for picking CertaPro was that they know how to close the deal. So I presume you'd agree with that at this point. They're a good franchisor in terms of closing the...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I would just add, as a new associate, the lady whose name escapes me at Floor Coverings International is one of the few who reached out to me personally.
Okay. Is that Marcia?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're great people. I work with Jared. As a matter of fact, he'll be in Michigan next week for our Meet the Zora events. Don Terranelli was a little bit too late. I had to put him on the waiting list. All right, any other questions? I hope this was helpful.
It is. Thank you very much, Mark, for doing this today. And
oh, no problem.
We'll have the recording on France Connect.
Yeah. Sure. And any of you can feel free to call me if you think of a question later in the day. I'll be here all afternoon.
Thanks, Mark.
Right.
Thanks, Mark.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mark.
Everybody have a great weekend.